A time of prayer and intercession, but to do that, we need to be informed. Pardon? Yeah. Don't need that one. It's okay. Now we're looking for a spiritual breakthrough. I want you to say, I want you to know that the going and the spiritual pressure is heaviest just before the breakthrough, like any war. And often people find this is too much and back off. That's never the time to back off. That's the time to push through into something more. Why do we want a breakthrough? Do we want it for the church? Or do we see that it is God's calling on our lives? Because we have to recognize God's call and God's will in every situation and circumstance. We're not doing it for the church, we're doing it for the Lord, because he has called us. And there's a, as we've been saying, there is a spiritual battle on. So being prepared for the intercessory battle is essential. And I want to give you five key factors to understand how we need to be functioning before we even attempt to get into these spiritual battles. The first one is to have a personal relationship with the Lord. There's no question. You cannot go into this sort of stuff without a personal relationship with the living God, and to know that you hear his voice, that you know the work of the Spirit within, that you know what he is doing and saying. The second one is to have a unity with the Spirit of the Lord within you, that you are happy with him and that you know he is happy with you because you keep short accounts with him. The third is having a personal growth in spiritual understanding. What is the Spirit doing in your life? What does he do in the life of your church? What is he doing in your nation? Understand these things. What is he saying? Having understanding is so important. Number four, to have public power encounters. You can manifest church all you like in church, won't upset the enemy too much. But when you go out there into the public, into his domain, and you start to manifest something of the kingdom of God within you, then it starts to affect. Five, being able to read the signs of the times, having a clear diagnosis of what the Lord is doing and the Lord is saying. What is the Lord saying at this present time? I'm sorry if I cut across your thinking, but he's not talking about revival. He's talking about preparation for the end times. Be prepared. He's saying, get ready for what lies ahead. Be prepared for what is happening, as it says in Matthew 24, that the lawlessness is increasing. And if you are not increasing in the love relationship and understanding of the Lord, that you could be amongst those, as it says in Matthew 24, that most fall away because of the iniquity in the heart. You don't want to fall away. Nobody wants to fall away. But the scripture says that most will fall away. You can't fall away from something that you haven't got. So there's a reality of that. I think those who live by a religious order will find it difficult to live when lawlessness increases. Because lawlessness is simply the promotion of the evil powers upon your life, in my life, trying to create a spiritual pressure for you to back off your spirituality. You know, God wants us to live as spiritual people. So we need to be aware of what is happening and what the Lord is saying. We have need of local and national knowledge based on facts and not on presumption. And our brother Ian here, he has been a tremendous researcher, and I know that others have been working on that. So they have an understanding of what is going on in the area. So you need to have local knowledge, and you need to have knowledge of what the Lord is doing nationally. And we'll come to that in a minute. But there is the divine principle of the Lord. In Romans 1 and verse 12 or 16, he says that he gave priority to the Jew and then to the Greek. So for me, because God is who he is, and he chose, says in Amos 3, that he chose the Jews out of all the families of the earth for there to be a manifestation of his Son. And he chose Israel as the place. The scripture says that Jerusalem is the apple of his eye. Zechariah says this. So, woe betide anybody who touches his eye. It also says, the scriptures, that Israel is the center of the world. You get this little tiny land, no bigger than Wales, that has got all this focus upon it. It's quite amazing. Why all the attention? Why do they want to get rid of that little bit of land? Because he, Christ, is coming back there. And get rid of that, we can get rid of him coming back. That's the Antichrist work. And I could open that up a lot more. The end time strategy that we see in the scriptures is for the land and for his people. It's very clear in the scriptures that he said all nations are as nothing compared to Israel. Sorry if that offends you. But the reality is, he knows by his foreknowledge that all the nations come against Israel in the end time. That may be justifiable, but he knows that that land is his land, and that land is special to him. So he knows that all the nations are going to come against that. Israel doesn't do everything right, and neither do you and I. And it's called grace upon those people. And we need to be aware of these things. So, it's interesting. We look at Joel, because we're going to pray for this. Joel chapter 3 and verse 1 and 2. You know chapter 2 quite well, because it speaks about in the end times, I will pour out my spirit on mankind, your daughters and will prophesy, your old men will dream, and so on and so on. We quote this very often because it's in the New Testament pointing back. But if you continue down, in chapter 3 it says, behold, in those days, and at that time, when he's pouring his spirit out. So he's talking about the time that he's pouring out his spirit. So we can't say it was for then. It is for now that he's saying that I will restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem. I will gather all the nations and bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. There I will enter into judgment with them there on behalf of my people and my inheritance Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations, and they have divided up my land. God's bringing judgment on the nations because they are dividing up his land. Britain has been one of the key guys that have been dividing up the land. Do you remember I said earlier that God gave the land 109 times? He said the land belongs to them. And 36 times on oath, and 16 times he said it was theirs forever. 4 times he said they didn't deserve it. So I believe that when God says something, he means it. So we must be aware of where we are rooted, as it says in Romans 11, that is, we are grafted in to their root of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jesus declared these things. So we're being obedient to Jesus when we support Israel. So our work through the Prayer Warriors International, I go as much as I can to Israel to pray and intercede. And we have, on occasion, taken teams there to do repentance, is what we as a nation has done. The Freemasons have been there since late 1800s, where they formed a lodge underneath the old city in a place called Zacharias Cave. You can go down in there and you can see the two pillars of Jachin and Boaz of the Masonic, and a pillar put up that they have met down there for 100 years. And, you know, we have gone and we have done our bit and we've prayed and so on and so on with international teams. And we believe there is a calling upon the Lord for us to, as it were, help the Jew and help Israel be, as it were, what he would have them be. So I would like us to just pray into this for a bit, if that's okay with you. Because you remember what I said, there is a divine principle to the Jew first. I have found that when I go places to teach and minister, if I bring something in the scriptures and the teachings with reference to Jesus being the King of the Jews, or I talk about Israel, or I talk about the God of Israel, it seems like I get plugged into the father of faith of Abraham. The scripture says Abraham was the father of faith. And something seems to happen that the Lord, when we're open to him and we're open to Jesus and we're open to our spiritual roots, there's something to draw from. Drawing from the root, as it says in Isaiah 11, that that he was, Jesus was the stem of Jesse, he was the branch, and there the branch will bear fruit. The twigs bear the fruit. So something happens. And I want to say to you that even in your prayer time, simply says, he says in Psalm 122, pray for the peace of Jerusalem that you may prosper. You know, that's not so much money. That's to do with prospering spiritually. Yeah? You gain a lot more if you open up your heart to what the Lord is saying with reference to the Jew. So I want to start our prayer time simply by praying for Israel and for the Jew. Is that okay? Do you have a love for the Jew and for Israel? You do? Hallelujah. I trust that those who are not so sure would receive the revelation of it. Go talk to the Lord about it. Ask of him. If you get really stuck, then I will give you one of these. They're about 20 quid, but I'll give you one of these because that's how I really feel that we need to have the revelation of it and understand it because it will do something special for you and for the work of the kingdom. So, Father, we just want to say thank you tonight that as we come to pray for this nation, as we come to pray, Lord, for other things, for Wimbledon and London, Lord, in this area, Lord, we come to you. And we want to, Lord, as it were, be obedient to your call to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Not the peace that the world gives, but the peace that comes from you being the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for being the Prince of Peace. So I would ask of you, Lord, if you would, in the generosity of your heart, Lord, bring revelation, Lord, to my friends here and to those that they meet and the folks that they relate to. Lord, I pray for a revelation of your heart for Israel and for the Jew, that they may be supportive, that they may, Lord, as it were, stand for and be, Lord, a blessing to your people. Because you have made your statement, I will bless those who bless Israel, and I will curse those who curse Israel. And the Lord, we would ask that somehow, in your divine order, Lord, to bring about the revelation of what it means to bless rather than receive curse. Jesus, you died that curses would be broken. But Lord, we want to see the release of the church. We want to see release, Lord, in this nation of a bad attitude, Lord, towards Israel and the Jewish people. They're your people. You chose them. We may not have done, but you have. And that, Lord, we come to you and we're just saying, Lord, forgive us for our complacency, Lord, with regards to these things. And we ask of you, Lord, show us what we can do to support and to help build up, Lord, what you're doing in that nation. And we believe, Lord, that they are surrounded by their enemies and that you, Lord, are doing a work that is beyond us. And so, Lord, we ask for you to watch over them, protect them, guard them, guide them. Lord, keep that land that you've given to them, Lord, to belong to them. So we ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. One thing I want to describe to you here. If we have, like it says in Romans 11, if we have been grafted on to their tree, the olive tree, the roots of the olive tree are in the land of Israel. So you have this tree which got branches on it. Some are Jewish branches and some are Gentile believers' branches. I believe that when a spiritual climate hits at the Jew in Israel, it's the same spiritual climate that hits the church. So you can often see what's going on in church, what's happening to the church. You can sense at this time that the enemy is trying to destroy the church and the Judeo-Christian things that have come from the Word of God. The breaking down of marriage. You can sense these things happening. You can sense that the enemy is trying to infiltrate with other faiths to destroy Christianity, which is rooted back in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So we need to understand that if God is doing a work of building up the land of Israel, we need to know that there is a time when he's calling all of his Jewish people back to the land. And we can help that. We can help folks get back to the land. We can help the Jews get back to the land. And I could stand here tonight and I can give you testimony after testimony of what the Lord is doing. Because when we are helping them home, we're also helping ourselves, because we're helping to swell the Gentile believers' branches as well as the Jewish branches. And God doesn't grow a lopsided tree. Everything God does is perfect. So the amount of Jews going home will coincide with the amount of people coming into the church. Grasp that revelation that it's important to pray for the Jew and to pray for Israel. And I'll leave that there for now. And we'll have a look at prayer for the nation. I was asked if I would mention something about the Olympics that's coming. I believe that the Lord would have us stand in the gap tonight with regards to the Olympics. You know that behind the Olympics is the god Zeus, where they light the flame in his temple by the sun. It is then declared and honored, is taken around Greece, and then it will be brought over here. Now, in Zechariah 9 and verse 13, it says, he will raise up the sons of Zion against the sons of Greece. Who are the sons of Zion? That's us. And the sons of Greece are those who submit to humanism and the ways of this world. Because Zeus is the most powerful humanistic spirit that there is. And we in Britain invited it over. And within a month of us inviting it over, we had the financial crash. Just the invitation for it to come. We opened up to this. And now it's coming. It's coming on the 18th of May. And it's going to be the flame, the spirit of Zeus is going to be carried around our nation. There is being prepared today, prayer activity before it goes into a town and after it goes into a town. There are people that are trying to arrange for people to actually be with the flame wherever it goes, praying and interceding so that we can see this thing stopped. But Prayer Warriors International has a calling. I can't say any more than that. But we shall be confronting it when it lands on our land. Now, the sons of Zion are, as the Lord says, I will raise up my sons of Zion against the sons of Greece, which means that God is stirring us to pray. Why? We're in recession. People are struggling, some with their spiritual lives, their family life, businesses, finances, under tremendous pressure. And now the Olympics is coming. So now people are being focusing on the Olympics, and it's being sort of promoted right through the nation, and people are saying, oh yeah, we got the Olympics. We got the Olympics coming. And I'm not against the competitive thing and all that. I'm not against that. But what the Lord showed me was that when the Olympics is gone and it's finished, within 3 months, that humanistic spirit that was welcomed into our nation will come upon people and pull them down into a lower place than what they were before the Olympics. And God doesn't want that to happen. So I believe there's a call on us, as it were, to stand in the gap for our nation. You know, the humanistic spirit says, we can do it. We don't need God. We can do it. And you sense that something in the nation. You know, we can get ourselves out of this mess. We can get ourselves out of this financial crash. No, you can't. Listen, my folks, my friends. There's only one nation that has not been affected by the financial crash. And that has been the new shekel of Israel, which has remained the same all the way through. Why? Because God has got his hand on it. And they apply, some cases, the biblical principles that should be there. They're not into usury. They're not into doing what a lot of others do. So you can understand, you know, if you want to invest in the shekels, because they're stable. It's really, really important. So I think when they say, these humanistic people say, yes, we can do this and we can do that, the Lord says you must come against that. You must resist that. You must resist this humanistic thing. So you cut right across the world system. What does the scripture say? That we're in the world, but we're not of it. Why are we not of it? To be able to rule in a situation. They want us to pray for this because I think it's so important. Can we do that? Yes. I'll pray and then you can pray. Yes? Individuals can pray. We'll have a bit of time. We'll give about two or three, four of you each time. And then we can come in agreement. If somebody prays and you agree with the prayer, you give a wholehearted amen at the end of it. Don't sit there, you declare it, because what you are doing when you're saying your amen, you just as well said the prayer yourself. You're saying, I'm in agreement with that, Father. And you know, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, something happens. One person prays, the other agrees. There's enough of here to move mountains. True? Amen. We can move things tonight. So it's dynamic, you know, what we can do together with one heart. So, Father, we just say thank you for your spirit amongst us. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing for this nation. And we recognize, Lord, that the Olympics may be a good thing in a humanistic way, but spiritually, Lord, it's an abomination to you. It's got the death issues in it. It's got the humanistic issues in it. And we come to you. Lord, we recognize, Lord, your work, and we recognize, Lord, what you want to do. So we're asking you, Lord, if you would Give much favor to those that are arranging, Lord, these prayer gatherings in the towns where it's going. Lord, give much favor to those who want to take a coachload of people to follow that flame. Give much favor, Lord, that we would know where the flame is going, Lord, before it goes. Lord, give us much favor to be able to see, Lord, this power of Zeus, Lord, weakened, Lord, around our nation. The time it gets to that Olympic site and the songs are sung to Zeus. Lord, we want to see the spirit of Zeus, Lord, having no truck, having nothing, Lord, to be able to impart to the people in the nations and all the way around the world. Lord, we want to see that song not sung. We want to see, Lord, somehow you be lifted up and you be glorified, Lord, in a dynamic way here. So, Lord, we ask of you, Lord, work on these things. Cause your believers, Lord, to have much favor. Cause your folks, Lord, to know the joy, Lord, of serving you in these things, that they take no costs for themselves. But, Lord, would do, Lord, what you would have them do. That they would go where you'd have them go. That they would be, Lord, what you'd have them be at this time. So, Lord, raise up your sons of Zion. In Jesus' name, Father. Raise up your people, Lord, to be the warriors that you'd have them be. Lord, break the passivity, break the lethargy. Loose your body, Lord, to be, Lord, what you would have it be, Lord. Full armor on with a double-edged sword, Lord, the sword of your spirit. Lord, we're asking for you, Lord, that the word would go forth as led by your spirit. And Lord, declaring that your word shall not return void without accomplishing, Lord, what you wanted to do in reference, Lord, to this whole Olympics. Lord, we look to you. We want to see you glorified. We want to see you lifted up, Lord. We don't want to see any God of Greece, Lord, lifted up. So, Lord, hear our prayer, we pray. And help us, Lord, to do what is right. In Jesus' name, amen. There's much, much, much more that we could pray into this. But you can continue to do that as church. As we get nearer the time, I think the intensity of the prayer will pray. The Lord will stir. It came out, somebody prayed about unity, and I think that's one thing that we need to pray for. We need to have unity. But we can only have unity that's born of the Holy Spirit. And that is when the Word and the Spirit are one together. It's difficult having unity with a religious organization that's denying the power thereof. And I'd like us to pray, never pray for a spirit of unity, pray for unity of the spirit. Because the spirit of unity you can have in the football club, you can have in the tennis club, a spirit of unity. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for unity of the spirit. So if we can pray for this, because the Lord, he actually tells us to be separate from apostasy. And apostasy is simply anything that denies the word and denies the power of God. Apostasy is anything that denies. So if someone's denying the power of God to change a situation, there's apostasy there. If the religious organization rejects the fact that God is who he is and he's into the things that he's into, it's got apostasy in it. It's difficult having unity in that situation. So I would say, let's pray that the Lord brings together with you and you with others to be able to bring about a body that has got the unity of the Word and the Spirit together. Can we do that? Amen. Let's have two or three people praying into that. In the name of Jesus, we come and we're asking you, Lord, if you would pull out every spirit of division. Every lesser spirit, Lord, of unity. Lord, we want to render those spirit powers, Lord, to have no sway, Lord, within this area, in Jesus' name. Lord, we actually rebuke the spirit of unity, this humanistic unity, that unity is the answer. Lord, we declare unity is not the answer. You are the answer. And Lord, it's unity around you, Lord. And we say to you, Father, we do not want to be united with other faiths or other religions, Lord, that deny you as the sovereign Lord, who deny your blood, who deny, Lord, your word, who deny, Lord, your call upon life. Lord, we're asking for you, if you would, in the generosity of your love and your care for your church, Lord, in this area, to be, Lord, what you'd have it be, strong and bold and courageous, Lord, through your word and by the leading of your spirit. And we say to you, Lord, we will refuse to give in to spiritual and humanistic pressure to be in unity with those who are not in unity with you. So, Lord, we ask you, give us, Lord, the revelation and the understanding, Lord, of who you would have us be united with, so that we're not wasting our time, Father, with some religious spirit or some spirit of unity. We're simply asking you for your leading and your guidance. Would you speak to others, Lord, who have a desire for this unity? Lord, make the matter known, Lord, so that there can be communication, there can be relationship built, so that there can be a standing together. So we look to you, Lord. Remove the divisions. Remove the spirit of division. Remove, Father, those things that would hinder, Lord, the unity of your spirit. In Jesus' name, Father. And all God's people said, Amen. 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 Let's move on a bit. What time are we due to finish, bro? A little longer.
Yeah.
Well, if what's going on in my spirit, you might be here a long time. I sense the Lord moving and doing things. And Tim, yeah, we'll listen to what he has to say. Next thing I want to focus is a little bit on London. The Lord doing a bit, and you need to understand this, that you've got certain things over your towns, whether it be Tooting or Wimbledon or where your other churches. There are things that affect that are local, and then there are things that are in another principality that's over an area, and then you've got principalities that are over a larger area, and then you've got them over, as it were, the nation. Some of the things that affect in your village are national things. Some are, as it were, area things. So there's things that are going on in London that are also affecting you here. And we need to just to pray into that, because I believe there needs to be a release for you as churches to have the finance to do what the Lord would have you do. And there were controlling factors in the city that are affecting you and affecting other areas. And I believe we need to just look at that and pray into that a bit. Now, you all know that the love of money is a snare. If you love money, you already got a snare. Money is not the root of all evil. It's the love of the money that's the root of evil. And we need to understand that. Now, London is the financial capital of the world, the city especially, and the city is controlled by 25 aldermen. 25 aldermen, they're all Freemasons. So the Freemasons have the control of the finances. The god behind Freemasonry is a feminine deity. It seeks to rule and reign over men by seduction, causes them to, as it were, do the things that it wants rather than what they would maybe want to do. So the core of the apple in London is corrupt. We know that. especially regarding its finance. Heavy controls from the Freemasons, the Bilderbergers, and the New World Order, or whole teachings on their own, all in preparation for to bring in the mark of the beast. It's all to do with the control, not only over the people of the world, but also over you and I. And we have warnings about that, of not taking the mark. So what are they doing? We know that they're building bigger, larger barns to put their money in. They're building these big buildings, aren't they? What's that recent one that's building? The Shard building, another financial thing that they're putting up. Bishop's Gate Tower, right in the Docklands area. It's quite amazing. We can't go into it now, but my studies show that the city is controlled by the Kabbalah, the old ancient mysteries, and it's got some pretty heavy controls over what's going on in the new buildings that are going on. So what I would say here is that we need to be able to pray to bring some release. Whether we like it or not, this world's system is corrupt and it's coming to an end. It's coming to an end, folks. There's no way out of this financial crash. It will not happen. Why? Because the Word of God says that in the end times, a loaf of bread will cost a month's wages. Oh, I don't want to hear that, David. Well, you do, because now you can get prepared in your relationship with the Lord, because the Lord supplies all your needs. He supplies all your needs. But do you want this financial system to carry on as it is, robbing and stealing and causing people to get in debt so that they lose their houses, they lose their cars, they lose their life, they lose jobs? It's a crazy situation. And as I said earlier, the only nation that's escaped has been Israel at this present time. It's quite interesting. So for me, trusting in the Lord is the essential thing. So we need to pray into this. Repentance of the love of money is a key factor for any Christian. Our focus is not on money. Our focus is on the one who gives to us. And he gives generously. And I could share a lot about that. We need to pray that for the Lord to forgive us for mishandling money in any way, being unwise with money, putting money into the world and the world system. And I do believe, someone spoke to me earlier, and I just want to say that we have to be careful where we invest money, because you don't know what those investors are doing with that money. Need to be aware with it. We need to be saying to the Lord, you know, am I a generous person like you, our Lord? Or am I mean with money? Are you, as a church, are you good givers into God? You don't have to answer that, but you ask yourself that. Are you supplying what is needed? Because there's no good us asking for this system to come to nothing so that his system can come in if we are part of the system. We've got to be, because the Lord loves a cheerful giver, doesn't he? He's so generous. You can't outgive God. Remember the time the Lord said to me and my wife, I want you to give £200 to this man. And I said, Lord, we haven't got £200. He said, you can get it together. And we went and begged and borrowed and got this £200 together. And it cost us. So he said, well, you've got to take and give it to him. And as I was driving to give this money to him, there came a rainbow over the road. And as I went through that rainbow, the Lord says, and I will increase this tenfold now for you. Yeah, wishful thinking, David, you know. That'd be nice, you know. Anyhow, we went and gave the money. As we got there, they had a bill that morning coming in. The wife was crying. The man was tearing his hair out. He said, I just don't know what we're going to do. This is a final warning for us. We've got no money to pay. I said, how much is the bill? Is it 200 pounds? Is it 200 pounds? It's God's way of doing things. I got back home, and about a month later, we had it. Somebody came and stopped with us. And while they was with us, the Lord ministered to them, set them free, did some things with them. And when they came and paid their bill for the guest house that we was running, they said there was another envelope here. When I opened the envelope, there was £2,000 in it. And the Lord said, I told you tenfold. You can't outgive God. But that's the heart he wants you to have. Don't ever give presumptuously. Don't ever give to get, because you won't get, because you've got a wrong motive. So what I'm saying here, the focus in these end times is for people and not money. The money that you give has got to help people more than yourself. And if you can focus in this way, you will see changes in your life. And I could share so much. Businesses have to focus on people and not on money. If a company is caring for its workers, I believe that it will help them make money. But if they're exploiting the people to get money, I believe that'll collapse faster than anything in these end times. God looks into the heart. So I think we need to pray for release in this situation. I will pray, and then I will ask you to pray. Father, we come standing in the gap, Lord, with reference to finance in the church. We recognize, Lord, that we are in this world, but we are not of it. Lord, we say we don't want to come under the conditions as, Lord, as you collapse, Lord, this worldly system. But we don't want to, as it were, affect what you're doing. We want to support what you're doing and what you're saying. As we see, Lord, the people of the world, Lord, seeking to gain more and more money, borrowing and borrowing and borrowing. Lord, going further and further and deeper into debt. I would ask of you, my Father, in that beauty of your generosity, if you would bring release of debt, Lord, upon your church. Lord, for the people of your church, Lord, who walk by your Spirit, Lord, would you release them of debts? Would you release them, Lord, of the mortgages? Would you release them, Father, of the financial debts that they have? Lord, we say we want to, as it were, know what it is to be trusting you in the fullness, Lord, of all that you are. That you say you will supply all our needs. And we believe you. We choose to believe you, Lord. So would you, Lord, break down this worldly system that we, Lord, are so attached to. That we can always go and get money, Lord, from HP. We can always go and get money, Lord. The Lord, we say that we don't always trust you. So we're asking you, Lord, if you would show us how to seek first the kingdom and its righteousness, then all things will be added unto us. So we ask of you, Lord, would you bring about, Lord, a revelation of the resistance, Lord, that is needed to this worldly system that so many, Lord, Christians are caught up in? Lord, would you, Lord, as the great Creator, create a way, Lord, for us to be able to receive, Lord, from you? So we look to you, Lord, if you would open the windows of heaven, as you say in Malachi, and you'd pour out, Lord, what is needed for us to be able to live the life that you would have us have. So, Lord, we want to say we deny, Lord, our humanistic, fleshly desires right now and say to you, Lord, we want to live according to your Spirit. We want to live by your divine principles. So we look to you, Lord. And we look to you, Lord, if you would bring your release, Lord, to the pressures for this church. that this church, Lord, these group of churches might have the finance to be able to do the things that they need to do, to be able to be above and not below, in Jesus' name. Lord, to be the head and not the tail. So we ask of you, Lord, break down, Lord, that worldly system and bring in, Lord, the divine principles. Bring in the divine order and fulfill, Lord, your desires to bless your people, to be a good father to your people, to bless your sons, bless your daughters, to bless those who bless you. So, Lord, we ask of you, Lord, do a work that is beyond man, beyond woman, Lord. And do, Lord, what you have in your heart to give generously, Lord, to your people. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, tonight we break every mindset, Lord, to do with finance. Minds that are set on the fact that you don't give. Lord, we break those powers in the name of Jesus. We loose those people, Lord, from the grip of those lies. That you give, Lord, when the thing is needed. So, Father, we believe that you give in your perfect way, in your perfect timing. So, Lord, we ask of you, destroy this old worldly system and bring in, Lord, what you have prepared. You say, the gold and the silver is mine, says the Lord. Lord, if it's yours, then it's ours too. So, Lord, thank you that has been prayed tonight that we are one with you and you are one with us. What is ours is yours, Lord. So what is yours is ours. Lord, would you release, Lord, what is needed for us to be able to declare these things, that the world might see that we are who we are, that you supply, Lord, what is needed. Lord, in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
We can again continue to pray for the next half an hour or more on these things. But I want to spend the last bit of time. I want to try and finish about 8:30. Is that about right? Some of you are yawning already, and some of you have had a long day. Some of you haven't had time with your families or anything. And besides, the old man's getting a bit tired. I want to pray for some key points for Shofar, for your church. So if we can just look at this for a minute. We have had some encouragement this weekend from the Word and from the Spirit, I trust, to make disciples. So you need to be aware of discipleship training within your church is a key factor. And that's not a light thing to do. There needs to be regular discipleship training. And to help one another in that, to be able to practice, you know, doing the things that we've been talking about this weekend. How do you get good at anything? By practice. And if you love one another, you can help one another, even if you make mistakes, yeah? Because I can tell you of a few mistakes. but if you never do anything, if you have a fear of making mistakes, you don't do anything. So don't have fears of that. I would like us to pray that the Lord raises up an army and warriors, and I'd like to pray for you to all be in that army. Are you willing to put boots on? I think so. I want to pray for the release of gifting. Amen. For there to be deliverance and healing as part of the work of the Spirit within you. Amen. For God to give you strategies for the town, for the towns where you are, for an authority to stand in the gates, the gateways in and out, for the Lord to use you. As it says, he gives you an authority. He speaks about it in Isaiah, and he speaks about it in Revelation, that he will cause you to shut doors that nobody can open. And that you can open doors that nobody can shut. Be led by the Spirit on that. So I want to pray for the fresh authority on that. I want to pray that the Spirit does a work this in a special way. I want to pray that for you. You can continue to pray for this at another time, because I want to share a final little bit of 5 minutes why things fizzle out, so that you can be aware of what not to do. Is that okay?
Yes.
And then we'll finish in a few minutes if we can. So, Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters, for those, Lord, folks that I've met this weekend. It's been such a blessing to me, such an encouragement to me. Lord, thank you for their hunger and thirsting after righteousness. Lord, thank you for their hearts, Lord, as they seek something more of you to be able to help others. They're not seeking to be something for themselves. They're seeking, Lord, for them to be, Lord, something to you. So I would ask of you, Lord, if you would cause there to be, Lord, an army of people who would stand and fight, Lord, against everything that would hinder the church growth, in Jesus' name. I ask that you give them, Lord, revelation and understanding. I ask, Lord, that you give them very clear discernment of spirit with words of knowledge. Lord, with your work of faith within their hearts, let the faith be of you within them more than their own faith, so that they might live, Lord, by the faith of the Son of God. Say, Lord, we ask that you do these things, that you cause them, Lord, as it were, to be used by you to bring about, Lord, the deliverance of many. And Lord, that they would bring about the healing, Lord, as they break the controls and lay the axe to the roots, Lord, of the things that hinder, Lord, the healing and the restoration of these people, Lord, that you have chosen, Lord, will be here and be a part of it. Lord, there be many testimonies of people being set free and healed.
Amen.
So, Lord, we ask that you cause this church to have doors to go through, doors of opportunity, Amen. Doors of faith. Amen. So I ask you, Father, open the doors. Amen. Open the doors, Lord, for them to go through, to bring about, Lord, the release of what you have planned for them, a body of believers who will move through this land by your Spirit. So, Lord, we say thank you. Lord, cause these people to humble themselves and pray and seek your face. And, Lord, and you will bring about the healing of the land and restore, Lord, what you have purposed. I pray, Lord, that you give them an open heart to the Jew and to Israel. That they, Lord, would know the joy, Father, of you, Lord, in their lives, as you, Lord, are overjoyed, Lord, with what your people are doing and saying. Lord, help them, Lord, to be part of that. Help them, Lord, fight for the ground, Lord, that you have given to them, possess, Lord, in this area, as you help those in Israel to fight for the land that you have given to them. So we ask of you, Lord, minister your love and your life in Jesus' name to this church so far. In Jesus' name, Father. So, Lord, by your Spirit, Lord, continue to quicken this prayer action and this prayer life. In Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Are you thankful for that?
Yes.
Amen. Right, just 7 points, really, very quickly. I've got loads of other teaching before, but I felt that you ought to have this. Why things fizzle out. I want to say to my brother here who leads the church. I recognized when I came at 4 o'clock that the majority of the people were not, as it were, here on time. They're doing their own thing. When a meeting starts at 4 o'clock, you should be here at 4 o'clock to start that meeting. Not come and have fellowship. If the meeting's to start, it is to start. And I say, my brother, be bold in this. Because one thing, I tell you what happens. Weak leadership, I'm not saying you are, but weak leadership without exercising authority causes the enemy to come in. So be bold in your leadership. And those that are in leadership with you, be bold on these things. You want to make it very clear that you're starting at 4 o'clock. I had to speak to a brother in Africa. I was out there teaching. There was three of us doing the teaching, one from Sweden and one myself and another one from Africa. We was due to start on the Monday. The idea was we'd meet Sunday night and pray together. The man never came Monday. He never came Tuesday. He came Wednesday lunchtime. And I said, well, where have you been, my brother? You know, we've had to do your teaching. And he simply said, well, I've been with my family. I said, what about this family? What about us as your family? Wouldn't a simple phone call be good? You know, so there's a complacency somehow that comes out of Africa about timing. What I'm saying to you is get that timing in righteousness to the Lord. Okay? I think that's one of the key things. So make sure that things don't fizzle out because of any weak leadership. Yeah? Forgive me, I trust I haven't offended anybody by that. Somebody say you haven't. I can say things like this where maybe your leadership can't, because I'm going back to Kent tomorrow. Second point, a tendency to make a prayer gathering the end result. The prayer gathering is not the end result, it's the start. Oh, well, we're all praying together. No, it's something more. And the same thing, unity. Unity is the result. It's only part way to the end result. Number four, we have to go into the battle to get through it. There will be resistance. The enemy will not like what you're doing. There will be resistance. And you need to be prepared to stand together. Five, having a fervent prayer heart attitude. That is, you pray, and you pray, and you pray, and you build that relationship with the Lord. Because without prayer, there is perishing. People perish without prayer. And be prepared, number six, be prepared that sometimes it's a long time to get certain breakthroughs. Sometimes it's quick, sometimes it's longer. It's depending upon what the Lord is doing. It's also depending on the strength of the enemy. We had a time, it was over about 4 years before we see the real breakthrough in our own area. At the end of it, we was able to put on a festival of hope, and we had 54 of the churches, church groups of all denominations out of 59 came together on one day to stand together. It was very shallow, but they came together. And it took time. It took a lot of prayer. It took a lot of breaking down ley lines and breaking down enemy occult places, high places, prayer walking, coming against the competitive spirit in the church. Oh, we went on and on and on. Because, you know, the churches compete. I was accused of one time. Somebody left a church and they came to me, and at the fraternal, I was accused of sheep stealing. They said, you are a rustler. I said, I never asked them to come. And I went home upset and I got before the Lord. And the Lord rebuked me. And he said, what has it got to do with you if I take one from that church and bring them to you? And what's it got to do with you if I take one from your church and put them somewhere else? Whose church is it? He said, you love them and you teach them what I've given you, and you just do that and it will be fine with me. So I've known people come to me and they stopped about a year. They learned all about this, that and the other. Then the Lord took them somewhere else. And then they learned all about this and something else. And then he took them somewhere else. You know, and in the end, the Lord puts them into the calling that he's got for them. So don't be concerned about people coming and going. Okay? Just love them, care for them, teach them, minister to them, build them up, and do what they like. And you can't please everybody all the time. And the final one. It is until we get the fruit of the Spirit manifest in church. Not just when we see it. You can see this beautiful apple on the tree and you keep looking at it. You think, that's absolutely lovely. This is really nice what we're doing. But somehow the fruit has got to be used to help others. So the fruit of the Spirit in your life, in the church life, is to give to people. It's to give away. The fruit of the relationship that you have gained from the Holy Spirit. Yes, it's a blessing to you, but the Lord didn't give it to you for you only. He gave it to you to give away. And then that's the same with the gifts. The gifts that you have, you remember the laying on of hands and the gifting and imparting of the gifts is a very, very important part of the work and the flow of the Spirit within the church. So I want to encourage you, allow those gifts to manifest and encourage those gifts. It's important. You say, well, we don't want to become Pentecostal. Well, I'm sorry, but you are Pentecostal. Because Pentecost simply means that everything that came at Pentecost, they got hold of, you know. Amen. So you will be known as a church that's got gifting. You might be called a Pentecostal. You might be called over the top on this and over the top on that. Best that they talk about you like that and talking about you as a nothing church. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen?
Yeah, be real in this, you know. Yeah. You don't have to justify yourself with people. You just have to make sure you're doing what he says. Mm-hmm. And you be encouraged by that because God is faithful. Mm-hmm. As you know, even when we're not quite faithless. So, Father, I bring this to you for my brothers and sisters and simply, Lord, to in the way that you do things and in your perfect timing, build this church.
Amen.
And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I would like to say thank you for your warm invitation and your blessing. You've been lovely to be with. It's been easy to share with you. I felt a drawing, and love your hunger and your thirst after what is right. But I say to you, you must test everything that I've said. How does it marry up with the Word and the Spirit? Because that which is not of the Lord, you've got to reject. So you need, as anybody comes to you, you're told to test the Spirit to see if it's come from the Lord. And you need to test what I have said. So you have to test and you have to make a decision. Was this man from God? Was what he's saying from God? Because if it is yes, you better not abort what he said.
Amen.
Okay? Not what I say, but what he said. So just to make sure that you must test. Yes, it was the Lord or it was not. If it's not, forget it. But if it was, better respond. Because in my experience, and as a churchman, pastored for 25 years, I can tell you that you can teach people, they can hear, and the next week they haven't got a clue what you said. And sometimes you just have to keep on and on and on pushing. And it was quite interesting. This is funny. I'd share a teaching, and I'd go through it, and I'd get questions and answers, and I'd go through the whole thing. And you understand all this? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Did they grasp it? Did they do it? Not really. And then a few months later, a minister comes in, and he says what I've been saying for months, and they said, this is just what we needed to hear. Thank goodness me, Lord. So it's good that you have others to come in, and so that you do not become just acclimatized to one or two. Yeah? So thank you for being who you are. Blessings.